Today, the title of my sermon is Waiting with the Right Attitude. Waiting with the Right Attitude. As God's people, all we are doing is to wait. Waiting for the return of Jesus Christ and all the promises that he has made to us in the scriptures, that he would come back and make the world a better place. A place where we will no longer hear rumors of war, where we will no longer hear bloodshed or see bloodshed. A place that will be free from suffering, pain, and all the promises that Jesus Christ made to us in the Bible. We are waiting. We are waiting every day by day for this to happen. Please turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. In Revelation 21, Jesus Christ revealed what will happen in the future to John. Revelation 21, from verse 1 to 5. And he said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrows, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" And if you turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk 2 from verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision, make it plain upon the table, that he may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.'" So he said, write the vision. The vision is for an appointed time. It may take some time to happen, but he said, wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. So John saw the new heaven and the new earth. And the book of Habakkuk, God is saying that the vision is true and it must surely come. And that is what we are waiting. But the question today is, how are we waiting? How are we waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we waiting with the right attitude? Are we doing the right thing while waiting? Because Jesus Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he gave some instructions to his disciples to wait at a certain place, within a certain period, for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And all the people that gave birth to the prophets in the Bible, some of them, God gave them pre-information and told them what to do, so that they will wait with the right attitude. So Jesus Christ did not just leave us to wait. He told us what we should be doing while we are waiting. So if we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, we should be waiting with the right attitude. We should be waiting, doing the right thing, not doing our own thing. Should be waiting, doing what God wants us to do while waiting. And I have two examples today. The first example, we will see example of waiting in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. Saul was the king of Israel, and Samuel was the prophet. Samuel told Saul to wait at a certain place in Gilgal, that he would come in 7 days. But Saul was there with about 3,000 soldiers, and Saul waited for Samuel for 7 days. The Philistines mobilized their military men to fight the people that were with Saul. Saul waited and waited and waited for Samuel. And after 7 days, Saul decided to do what he was not supposed to do. He decided to do the work of Samuel because he was afraid. He could not wait patiently. He could not do the right thing while waiting. And if you go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, and I'll start from 6. So when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the men did hide themselves in caves and thickets and in the rock and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and a peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Samuel went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So Samuel told the people to wait 7 days in Gilgal. But when they saw the Philistines, the soldiers, they were so afraid and they scattered. And Saul did what he was not supposed to do. And Samuel said, "You've acted foolishly." Do we act foolishly while we wait because of circumstances and situations around us? Do we go away from what God wants from us because we are pressured? That is not the way to wait. We wait doing the right thing, wait the way God asks us to wait, doing what he wants us to do. If we wait like Saul, we will not inherit the promise when it comes finally. And that little time we want to step out, that little time that we want to waste disobeying God, might be the time the promise will arrive. I have another example in the book of Acts, chapter 2. But before the Acts chapter 2, turn to Luke 24. So Jesus Christ was ascending to heaven, and he told his disciples, he gave them instruction what to do and what to do and where to wait. Because waiting requires patience. For us to wait, we need patience. We need the right attitude. We need to do the right thing. If someone wants to pick you up, they will give you a location where you wait, time. If you order for Uber or Lyft, you have a location, you have a time, and so on. The same thing applies spiritually. So if you turn to Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, Luke 24:49. So Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from high." So Jesus Christ have commissioned them to go and preach the gospel, but he told them, he gave them an instruction to wait. To wait. He made a promise, and he asked them to wait. Now let's see what they did and how they kept to this instruction in the book of Acts chapter 2. And this is what we should be doing. Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." So these people kept the commandment of Jesus Christ, the instruction he gave to them. He told them to wait in Jerusalem till they received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, they waited. There were more than 100 of them from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, raised by different parents. So they have different thought process. They have a lot of differences. But they were waiting in one accord. What joined them together? What brought them together? The same hope, the same faith, the same Jesus Christ, the same God. They were in one accord. This is how we are supposed to be waiting for the return of Jesus Christ as a church. As a church. When you look at the church today, all the people, all the organizations that are called church, you will see that we are not in one accord. We are not waiting for the return of Jesus Christ in one accord. Because when you look at what the Catholic believe, what the Anglican Church believe, what the Baptist Church believe, what we believe, and what other churches believe, you will see that we have different gods and different Jesuses. Some believe he's coming to take us to heaven. Some believe we're going to wait for him here. But no matter what we believe, the writing is whatsoever that is written in the Bible. God wants his people to be one. And how are we going to be one? These people demonstrated it here. The Bible said that they were in one accord. They were in one accord. Their differences were put aside. They were all looking for one promise. They were all expecting the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ promised, the same empowerment that Jesus Christ promised. This is what the church should emulate. Even right here, it's possible that we don't believe the same thing right here. Maybe we believe the same thing in the paper, But when we start to discuss about Bible matters and topics, you will notice that we have different opinions and we believe different things, even right here. That is not how it's supposed to be. We are supposed to believe one thing. We are supposed to have one faith. We are supposed to trust one Jesus Christ. We are supposed to look up to one God, the Father. But when we believe different things, when we believe things that are not even in the Bible, or when we translate the Bible the way it will suit us before we believe it, we cannot be waiting for Jesus Christ in one accord. This is what we are supposed to be doing as a church. And the day of Pentecost is tomorrow, and it should remind us that we are supposed to be one as God's people, that we are supposed to be one people. That is what God, that is the prayer, that Jesus' supplication, that Jesus Christ made to God the Father while he was here, that they might be one. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. From verse 4 to 6. Ephesians 4 from 4 to 6. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have to look up to one God, one faith, one Jesus Christ. That is the right attitude of waiting. That is the right thing. That is what Jesus Christ expects from us. Because we are, the church is the body of Jesus Christ. The body, the hand cannot be doing a different thing. The leg cannot be coming to the church and the hand is going to the party. It will not work. We are one body. And the Bible wants us, Jesus Christ wants us to walk together. Believe one thing. March together, stop together, speak together, sing together, do everything in one accord, just like these people. They were in one accord. They prayed together. They studied together. They prayed for one another. That is how we wait for the return of Jesus Christ as a church. That is how we wait. We should learn from this how to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. If you turn to John 17, John 17, John 17 from verse 18. This is actually the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus Christ actually prayed to God the Father. John 17. I will not read the whole prayer, I will read from 18. Jesus Christ prayed and said, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who believe in me through their words, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So Jesus Christ prayed that we will be one. We will be one in Jesus Christ, doing one thing, believing one thing. That is the prayer, the Master's prayer. He wants us to be one. And the apostles, the disciples demonstrated this oneness while they were waiting for the empowerment from above. And what force can actually help us to be one? How can we be one? We first of all look at the things that can separate us. A lot of things can separate us. A lot of things can make us not to be one, like offense. You know, the way we treat others, one thing or the other can lead to division, can lead to not being one as a people. But the Bible says love covereth all sins. No wonder God sent Jesus Christ, because he loved the world. He used that blanket to cover our sin. Love covers all sins. And look at what Jesus Christ said to us in John 13:34. This is what we must do. We have to strive. We have to strive to keep to these words. John 13:34. Jesus Christ said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all we know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So Jesus Christ wants us to love one another. What does it mean to love one another? It means that when we sin against each other, when we offend each other, Jesus Christ said, if your brother offends you 70 times 7 in one day, he said, forgive him. Why? Because love covereth all sins. And we must be clothed with love as God's people. As God's people, we must try to love one another, forgive one another. We must not look at people directly. Let us put our eyes on Jesus Christ. If all of us look up to Jesus Christ and the words that he has left for us here in the Bible, we will live at peace with one another. We will love one another, because if we all put our eyes on Christ, then we'll be waiting in one accord. We'll have one hope, and we'll forget our differences. Jesus Christ said, love you one another. And if you turn to Hebrews 13, verse 1, Hebrews 13, 1. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. No matter what happens between us. No matter what happens, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Let it not stop, because that is how to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. We must wait as one family, one body, one hope, one love. Another thing you will notice in the book of Acts, where we read, it said they were in one place. They were in one accord, they were in one place. They were together in one place. Praying together, studying together before they received the Holy Spirit. They were in one place. Location is very important when it comes to waiting. Location is very important when it comes to waiting. If you are here today and tomorrow you are not here, you are the other place. You are here and there, going from one place to the other. Going from one place to the other, I'm not trying to condemn it, but I'm trying to say that whenever you move from one place to the other, you need to adjust. You need to adjust. And the process of adjustment requires that you will lose some of your beliefs and you have to accept some other beliefs. You have to drop some of the things you believe in order to take some for you to blend, for you to adjust. But if we understand the Bible, if we believe the truth, there is no need adjusting. There's nothing to adjust. The Bible said they were in one place. Please turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3:14. anyways, as if I'm quoting the wrong scriptures. But somewhere in Timothy, Paul advised Timothy to hold strong the things he had been taught. The truth that he had, knowing the source, knowing who taught him, he should hold it very strong. All the truth that we know long ago, all the things that we've read, that we believe that they are truth, that we trust the source from which we got them, we must hold them very strong. We must hold them very strong. God wants us to be at a place to wait for him. If you also, I'll take you to the parable of 10 virgins in Matthew 25, verse 5. Matthew 25, 5. We all know this story very well. How 10 virgins, 5 had their lamp with oil, and the foolish 5 didn't have the oil in their lamp. But what we have to understand here is this, that the bridegroom had a position, a place, a location where he was supposed to meet with these people. And he arrived at that location. And all the people at that location at that point went in with him. And those that went away to buy oil, to get oil before they came back, they were not there when he arrived. And before they came back, the door was shut. We need to be in one place. We need to be in one place. If you turn to Hebrews 10:24, Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Say that we should not forsake the assembling of the brethren. Why do we need to assemble? Why do we need to come together? We can all read the Bible at home. We have the Bible, everybody own a Bible here. Yes, we can read the Bible at home, and this Bible is written in English, it's written in Spanish, and any language you want, you can read the Bible. You can understand it. God can give you understanding of the Bible. But why do we need to come together and be in one place? If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? How can one be warm alone? So the Bible says two are better than one. We need one another. We are the body of Christ. The hand needs the leg. The mouth needs the hand. The stomach needs the mouth. We need one another, and we must strive to wait for the return of Jesus Christ in one accord, to wait in the same place, to wait in one place if possible, And I'm not saying that it should remain in one place if what they believe is not true. I'm saying, if you have the right belief, if you have the right word, if you have the truth, it's profitable to wait in one place, just like these people did while they were waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, while they were waiting in one accord, suddenly something happened. Jesus Christ described his return as something that will happen when no one expects it. So, why did Jesus Christ describe it that way? He wants us to be ready at all time. He wants us to be working at all time. He wants us to be busy doing the right thing at any given time. Because we don't know when he will return. We don't know when the trumpet will sound. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpets will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, said, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the change will come. We'll see the change. Unbelievable. It will happen so quickly, just the way it happened on the day of Pentecost, while they were waiting in one accord, in one place, and suddenly their change came. That is the same thing that will happen to us. When we do not expect it, when we are busy doing what we are doing, that is how it will happen. Matthew 24 from 36 to 46. Jesus Christ said, but of that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So it's something that we don't know. We don't know the hour, we don't know the time. Jesus Christ gave us some hint. He said there will be wars, rumors of wars. He said iniquities shall abound, men shall love themselves. You know, all those things written in the book of Timothy. And we are seeing all those things, and we've been seeing those things for a very long time. For decades, for centuries, those things have been happening. Yet, Jesus Christ has not returned. The best thing for us to do is to read our Bible and order our steps according to what is written in the Bible. That is how to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And one of the things written in the Bible, how to wait, is that we love one another. That we stay in one accord. That we stay in one place. That we do the right thing while we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of practice. It's not easy. It's easy said than done. But we can do it. It's something that we can do. And I want to encourage us with some words, with some Bible verses. The book of Psalms, chapter 27, verse 14. Psalms 27, 14. Psalms 27:14. Say, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's continue to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Let's be courageous. And if we need strength, let's call on God. He has promised to strengthen us. In the book of Isaiah chapter 10, if you turn to Isaiah, Isaiah 40. And I'm trying to take you to a place that's not in my notes. But somewhere in Isaiah 40, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says, I will strengthen you. If you need strength, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand. That's God's promise. And in Isaiah 43, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. No matter what you pass through, while you wait, we will not go and behave like King Saul. We will continue to wait, knowing and believing that God will deliver us and that God is with us. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God told Joshua to be courageous. Be of good courage. The same words apply to us as we wait. Be of good courage. And let us make sure to do according to all that is written in this book. That is how to wait. That is the right attitude. That is the right thing to do while we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. If we do things in our own way, if we want to wait in our own way, then we might be missing out when Jesus Christ returns. And we have invested a lot in this waiting. We have to try to make sure that we are doing the right thing and we are waiting in the right way. We will have trials, we will face challenges, we will face division because God is with us. And if you read the book of Job, you will also see that when the sons of God gathered, Satan also came. So it's possible that Satan also visits us. We might not see him, but we know when he is around, when he manifests, when we are divided, when we quarrel among one another. When you see things that are ungodly, it means that Satan is close. And he comes around, and he is also close. So, but Jesus Christ has promised us. He said, let the tares continue to grow, and let the corn grow. At the day of harvest, he will separate them. So, brethren, let's take courage from the Bible. If you turn to Psalm 37, verse 34. Then Psalms 37 from verse 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. This is what we have to do. We have to wait on the Lord and we have to keep his ways while we are waiting. And he will exhort you to inherit the land. He will exhort you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. That is how we wait. We wait and we keep his ways. If you also go to Psalms 37, verse 9. Psalms 37, 9. Psalms 37, 9. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord and keep his ways will inherit the earth. And this is what we are expecting. This is our hope. We are hoping for a new heaven and a new earth. A new earth where Jesus Christ will be king and peace will reign, and the Lamb and the Lion, we dwell in peace together. And nations will no longer train for war. Like we're hearing what's going on in Israel and Syria and all these places, they are fighting wars. When Jesus Christ comes back to this world, we no longer hear such news. If you turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14. John 14, 1. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus Christ is saying to us, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and I can assure you I will return and I will take you unto myself. When this place is ready, you will inherit it. Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus Christ, throughout the scriptures, reinforced that he would come, that he would return with a reward. He would give us a kingdom. Like I told you in the past, that the miracle of crossing the Red Sea happened because God did his part and men did their part. God divided the Red Sea and the people walked in the way that God made in the midst of the water. And that was how the miracle happened. God did his part and man did their part. And I can assure you that God will do his part. Jesus Christ will return. Jesus Christ will bring a kingdom and renew this earth. Are we going to do our part? Are we going to wait for him with the right attitude? Are we going to do the right thing while waiting for Jesus Christ? Are we going to wait in one accord? Are we going to love one another? Are we going to wait, have one hope, one faith, one Jesus Christ? Are we going to be in one place like they were when they were expecting to receive the Holy Spirit? Are we going to be prepared when Jesus Christ returns in the twinkle of an eye? My last scriptures today, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 24. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and rain descended. The flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. For everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So Jesus Christ wants us to read these scriptures, order our steps according to what is written in these scriptures while we wait for his return. And in summary, what I've said today is as a church, we wait for the return of Jesus Christ in one accord, hoping for the return of one Jesus Christ, having faith in one Jesus Christ, expecting a new heaven and a new earth as promised by Jesus Christ. And we do this with one another, not forsaking one another, not isolating anybody, because we need one another to strengthen us, to raise us up when we fall, to help us when we go astray and bring us back in love. And we can achieve all these if we keep to his commandment in the book of John 13:34 that says, love you one another as I have loved you. Love you one another as I have loved you. And if we keep to the words of this book, and if we wait for Jesus Christ with the right attitude, doing the right thing, when he returns, we will inherit the earth.